Major Ed Dames with us. We're going to take your phone calls this hour as we talk about, of course, remote viewing and also the situation in Ukraine when we come right back on Coast to Coast AM. Okay, welcome back to Coast, Major Ed Dames with us as we talk about remote viewing and the horrible situation in Ukraine, which doesn't seem to be getting any better at all. There is this false hope, Ed, of some kind of a truce that you've been talking about as well, but you don't think that's going to happen?
It's a false hope, George. You said it right.
Well,
there can't be a truce. Yanukovych has to step down. He's got to step down, and secondarily, return to the constitution of 2004. Not only has the corruption, gone through the roof, but also the suppression of people's rights, life, liberty, pursuit of happiness, has been so corrupted that nothing's going to change until those two aforementioned, acts happen.
There have been demonstrations in Russia protesting Putin. Do you think that's going to grow?
It's very, very interesting. Very interesting situation that I'm watching. It's because of what is happening. The events in Ukraine are being watched closely, despite the editing, of course, by the Russian press. They're being watched closely by the Russian people. So this is kind of an inspiration there, saying, these people are very heroic. Maybe it's time for us to do the same thing.
What part?
Putin is a little bit concerned about that, of course.
What part of social networking would contribute to this?
The tweets. I'm not a part. My secretary handles my Facebook page. I'm a loner, a recluse. I really am.
You're not into high tech yet, are you?
No. I am, but it's consciousness tools. That's
right.
The future. That's the real future. All this technology comes and goes, evolves and all that.
Sure.
But consciousness tools, consciousness is the final frontier.
That's true.
Consciousness tools really is, and I could say a lot about that. But anyway, the tweets can't be stopped, and it's so wonderful that that's the case, because those can't be suppressed by the powers that be. So you really do get a minute-to-minute, hour-to-hour true update from the people on the streets about what's going on.
Okay, we've got this hour. It's going to go by very fast, so let us go to the phones. Tom is in Detroit, Michigan. Welcome to the show. Hey, Tom, go ahead.
Hey, Ed. The last time I talked to you, you said you're very interested in Detroit and that you got some ideas for Detroit and you were looking for some boots on the ground, but you're very hard to get a hold of.
Yes, he is. What's your question?
I have only one focal point in Detroit, only one personal focus point, and that's to find the remains of Tangina Hussein. And until in the next couple of weeks, I'll be out there. But I've been waiting for the snow to melt, because it's difficult to find a child's body when it's covered with snow. So I needed the snow to melt a little bit. But that's the long and the short of it.
That's a sad story out there.
Yeah, they're all sad.
Well, Tom, did you have a question?
Oh, I'm done.
Okay. All right. Thanks, Tom.
Hey, Tom, are you in Detroit?
He's gone.
Oh, okay.
When he said he's done, he's gone. But, he was right in the city.
Yeah, I mean, I have no problem taking other indigenes, locals with me on that.
My mother's still there, Ed.
Really?
Yeah, she's there. She's going to be 85 in May. Can you
believe
that?
I'll be darned. Yeah.
Got to go out there and see her pretty soon.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Let's go to Kelly in Napa Valley, California, first-time caller. Hello, Kelly. Thanks for calling.
Hi.
Hi.
I was wondering what Ed thinks about Courtney Brown's big announcement in mid-March.
Well, wonder what that's going to be. Now, Courtney Brown, of course...
Courtney was one of my first commercials. I was the training officer as well as the operation officer for the military unit, the SciSpy, the Department of Defense SciSpy unit. And then when I retired, I started teaching civilians. And Courtney Brown was one of my first trainees too. And he he's had a number of announcements over the years, but I don't have any opinion on that. No.
I think if memory serves me, I think he was the one behind the Hales Bop story when he was on with Art a long time ago.
Yeah, he
pretty
took
sure it's the same
on,
guy
on that. But I don't want to cast any disparaging stuff anywhere anymore. I used to do that.
Just have to wait and see what his big announcement's going to be.
Yeah.
Who knows?
So I have nothing to say about that.
All right, Kelly. But and we're going to monitor that. We'll see what he has to say. Let's go next to Terry in Melbourne, Florida, on the wild card line. Terry, it's your turn, sir. Go ahead.
Hey, Ed. How are you? Hey, George. How are you?
Good, Terry.
Yeah, I got a great question. I was riding my bike, and I went into the woods off the main drag, and there were some homeless guys camped out there, and they had a grill set up in a tent and everything. And there was like a patio table there, and sitting – this is in the middle of July last year, and it was super hot, as you can imagine. Sitting at that table was a gentleman, and he was wearing a full parka like you'd wear in Alaska. And then he was staring me down. He didn't blink at all. And my question is to you, sir, Ed, is that in the process of remote viewing, is it two-way or one-way? If there are individuals on the other side where you are viewing, do they have an awareness that you are viewing them? And can they actually, if they're aware, as I am, that can they view you in your appearance? As I believe that gentleman was remote viewing me as I was seeing him there, and there was some things that had happened after that semi confirmed my suspicion of that. And but that's my question, sir. If you could answer that, I'll take it off the air.
Well, there's some non sequitur in your questions, but no, remote viewing is a pretty cut and dried process. It's dry. I mean, the movies that I've been in and helped support, we've had some problems with Hollywood, because I tell these folks, and Hollywood's very interested in my work and our work. You know, this is very dry. It's very cut and dried. It's about as sexy and as dramatic as watching somebody do a solve a math problem or do some software programming. So you have to sex it up for the camera. But it's you do it with a pen. Your eyes are open. You never close your eyes. That invites imagination. So when I teach, backhand somebody that closes their eyes. We're not psychics. We're remote viewing. It's really, it's just a cut and dried process, just like playing the piano, reading sheet music. So no, I don't know what this guy was doing, but he wasn't remote viewing.
Are you doing any more consulting for Hollywood, Ed?
I'm not really happy with Hollywood, George. I really don't have a lot of respect for Hollywood. Unfortunately, television, which I have not watched since I was 17, 16 years old, has such a powerful influence on the public. I don't know about other countries so much, but in America. And so, if I want to get the message across about how powerful this tool is, I have to consider these things sometimes, but I have an ulterior motive. And that, for instance, when I was in, hypothetically, I was in the deception business once, okay? Well, in that business, one would have a sliding scale rule. If you want to sell a lie, you wrap the lie in 80% truth.
Right.
And you put that 20%
just bury
lie in. So otherwise, fish don't bite. They smell, something stinks in Denmark, not to mix metaphors too much. Okay? But the thing about Hollywood, and the reason I've deigned to agree to participate in movies and TV things over the years, well, two decades more plus, is because it's different. Then you take the truth and you wrap it in the drama. And people have a truth switch. Some people do, not everybody, but they have a truth switch. And when they turn off the television set, the boob tube, after watching the show, it sticks. Something sticks that, maybe there's something to this thing called remote viewing or that, you know, maybe there's something out there. I always wondered if this was true or all that. And so that's because television is so powerful a medium, that's why I've deigned to participate in those kinds of shows.
What was the name of that movie you were in with Ben Kingsley?
A couple of movies. Suspect Zero. I did that in Tom Cruise's office while he was making The Last Samurai in New Zealand. And he chose Sir Ben Kingsley to act, to play me as this this rogue FBI officer.
He was pretty good, though. You liked him, didn't you?
Very much.
Yeah.
Yeah, he treated me very well on the set, too. And the role that Kevin Spacey plays in The Men That Stare at Goats was kind of modeled after me.
Right.
Anal retentive. Can I say anal retentive on the radio?
You can get away with that.
Okay. That guy. And also, if any of your listeners have the DVD, I'm interviewed in the backstory, as the true story, the backstory on the DVD.
What drives you, Mr. Dames? You keep going. You don't stop.
I don't know if I can say this on the air.
Well, if you said anal retentive, what else is left?
God.
You can say that.
Yeah.
We talk a lot about God. Let's go to Michelle in Toronto. Hi, Michelle.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Okay, is Japan going to be hit by a second quake? And the sanctuary locations you mentioned last year, are they obsolete now?
No. The sanctuary locations, no, they're permanent. They're permanent for individuals. Really permanent.
Okay, I got another question, too. I've heard ETs have technology to clean up radiation. And did you guys remote view a bomb on the Fukushima reactor the first time?
No, there's no bomb on the Fukushima reactor. But in terms of ETs and cleaning up radiation, that's one of the key reasons why the acme of my career is contact, asking for help in this venue, because otherwise there's no hope. We have to give the keys to the car back to Dad and say, we have to have the humility as a race to say, we screwed up, please help. And that's one of the reasons my raison d'etre for contact.
All right, Ed, thanks for that. Let's take a few more calls before the break. We'll come back and wrap things up with final calls. Al is truck driving in Arizona. Al, take it away.
Say, the late Bloomer on the show tonight, but you were talking about Ukraine, and I just discovered on YouTube the other day something about a feminist group that started in Ukraine.
The Pussy Revolution. Pussy Revolution.
Well, it's the group called Femen, F-E-M-E-N. And they've been doing some...
Femin has... it's the vanguard of the Pussy Revolution. About...
Yeah, and I was wondering if... Because they're talking about starting a group in the U.S. over here. Have you ever looked at that and what the results...
No, it wouldn't work in the U.S. It would not work in the U.S.
Not at all. Drive carefully. Al, sounds like your truck's starting to fall apart out there. Unbelievable. What is new with you in terms of... anything beyond the children, beyond looking for the treasures? Are you looking for anything else, Ed?
I have a flagship operation that I'm still very interested in, and that's the location of the Le Sol Blanc, the white bird that Charles Nungesser flew as the pilot, and he had the World War One ace, the French air ace, after the war was over, he and the number one navigator in France attempted to they actually beat Charles Lindbergh across the Atlantic by 1 week, but their plane was lost. And I know that the plane did make it to North America, to the U.S. It was a great loss to the French people. In fact, I've done a lot of remote viewing for French TV shows and German TV shows, but this is a fun operation for me. And then to find that plane in North America, and we know where it is. We just have to find the time to get there in the summer to solve that and then go on. I would like to go on and look for the engine of Amelia Earhart's Lockheed Electra. But I have a feeling that I'm not going to be able to do that.
Why not?
Because we'll be overcome by events in 2014.
What kind of events?
Everything. The North Korea popping a nuke, and economic collapse and wars, fires trying to be put out here and there. It's just a bad feeling about this year.
Well, let's hope you're wrong, but...
I'm not wrong.
We shall see. International line, Sam, Toronto. Sammy, go ahead.
Yes, sir. I'd like to ask the gentleman there, who is creating all the problem in Kiev? Why do they always have to steer something to kill people and all that? Why? Who is doing this?
All right, give us an overview, Eddie. Go ahead.
Ukraine is an oligarchy, just like Russia, although Russia has a little bit more freedom. But Ukraine is an oligarchy. The oligarchs own the 1%, so to speak. The oligarchs run the country, and they've supported Yanukovych until now. And now they're starting to drop off because they realize that if they continue to support this corrupt thug, which he is, that's all he is a thug. Take a look at this background, research it. They're going to lose some of their money. And so that's the long and the short of it. It's an oligarchy. It's just money, greed, and power.
What about all the other fallen nations from the former Soviet Union? I mean, are they all peaceful?
Some are doing quite well, George. Some are doing quite well. Estonia, Latvia, Lithuania. I mean, especially Estonia. These countries, they don't have a balance of payments. They're doing quite well. And so they lucked out. And they elected the right people. They elected people who actually care about their dukies, their countries. Even Poland. It's just Ukraine has not been able to make it. I mean, they had 20 years to get it right since the Orange Revolution. Can't do it.
Well, we pray that your family's okay, Ed, and the
Thank
people you.
You
care about, my friend. And I know
Thanks.
You're going out there in a couple weeks. So hang tight. We're going to take this quick break and come back in a moment with final phone calls. With Major Ed Dames. They call him Dr. Doom, but he's a pretty good guy. If you need more information on what he does, first of all, he's got a DVD out there on learning remote viewing. It's an incredible DVD set there where you can just stay in the comfort of your own home and practice. And his website, of course, learnrv.com. Back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. Of course, on our next Coast to Coast program, we will be also doing our open lines on a Friday night, so make sure you're part of it. We're going to come back with Major Dames in a moment, and we'll take final phone calls here on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back. We'll take some final calls here with Major Ed Dames. Ed, I'm going to ask you a twofold question. In your career, what has been for you possibly your biggest remote viewing hit you think you've ever had? And the other one would be one that you've missed because, you know, nobody's 100%.
The biggest I'd have to share, there would be two. One would be a contact location with an extraterrestrial federation, having discovered that. The other would be my wife having used remote viewing to find her.
Huh?
To find me. The biggest misses, there would be too many, George. I had so many, but you learn by your mistakes, of course. I've had many misses, some regrettable, some in the military and some outside commercially.
What causes the miss?
Inexperience. Well, it gets technical after that. Queuing, the search terms, there's three parts in remote viewing. Setting up the queue, it would be like an internet database search, you know, needing to to define to unconscious exactly what your target is. And intent plays no part upon this. After your intent is over and you define the search term, that's it. Technically, that's it. You get what you ask for. The second part of the problem is learning the skill itself, which is pretty easy to learn in Reno on the 26th and the 27th. You're invited again, as I always invited you.
I know.
This is a basic course to come to that. It's easy to learn. It's not difficult. And then the final part is analysis. So most of the mistakes are not in the skill itself. It's setting up the search term and in the analysis. For instance, one of the things that I call it the Courtney Brown syndrome. I said I would not talk disparaging about Courtney Brown, but sometimes I lie. There's a syndrome, and if you do really good remote viewing work, like I taught Courtney how to do, and then you take and you drive the square peg of your own belief system into the round hole of the remote viewing work, that's one of the examples that can happen. People want to not take what they get from this raw, beautiful, pristine data and drive it into their own mindset, their own biases. So there are mistakes along those lines too, and I've made them all. And because I'm blonde, I made them numerous times.
To the phones we go. West. Tom is in Greeley, Colorado. Tom, thanks for calling.
Hi, Ed and George. Good to talk to you again.
Thank you, Tom.
And, Ed, the question that I have for you is, well, it's kind of hard to ask, but I'm going to ask it anyway, and that is, have you seen something similar as to what's happening in Ukraine happening here in the United States?
Worse.
Worse?
Yes.
That's just what we need.
You asked.
What you can't predict, though, is the time. Is that correct?
Correct. Well, we can get ballpark figures based upon significant preceding effects. And that's what we did with the kill shot, with these massive solar flares affecting Earth. That's the biggest thing that's coming down the pike, of course. More than wars and mini wars and things like that. We've bracketed or at least preceded these big events with the nearest recognizable preceding events, international kite festival or something like that. And in terms of the U.S., I would say not 2014, which is a confluence of events of many times that I've talked about so often on the show, but I would say no later than 2015, all of those bullets that our beloved Department of Homeland Security has ordered
704 million.
One more. And 2015, no later than next year, they're going to need them.
Let's go to Arena in Buffalo, New York. Hey, Arena, thank you.
Hi, good morning, George and Major Adame.
Hi.
I have a comment first and then a question. I was actually born in Belarus, and I came to the U.S. when I was 5. I didn't actually witness a Chernobyl incident, but my parents and my brothers, they did. They actually saw a cloud of radiation when it happened. They didn't know what it was because news didn't travel as fast back then, but they suffered from it. My brothers had hives all over their body, and my sister, she has an enlarged thyroid right now, but it's not a problem. Doctors say it's not a problem, but it's still, because of that. And my question is, how would you tie all of this into the Book of Revelation?
No,
what it says in there.
In terms of your comment, if you have not seen the mutation effects at Chernobyl proper.
I have.
Okay,
my sister Natasha did
a project. In terms of Revelation, no, I don't. I don't try to read anything into direct remote viewing data. Is direct knowledge. It's just direct knowledge too. And I don't try to read anything into that, too. I just take it for what it is. I'm aware of Revelation, of course, but I don't try to mix and match in terms of our raw data.
And what is a good percentage of hits to be a successful remote viewer?
Well, we're going to demand 6 months of training and the DVDs and/or workshops. And after that, we're going to demand 100% on target, which means 80% of the data that you download towards a target must be correct. Now, if you're working as a team and the Q, the matrix search term, our search terms are correct, and there's no, they're not faulty, that we have a very good search term, like, for instance, Tangina Hussein's skull, present location, which is a real-world target that I'm working. If you have three or more trained remote viewers that are saying the same thing, their mutually corroborating data is, we know empirically, is 100% correct, whereas a trained professional will always be able to achieve 80%, but not 100%.
We have now on the wildcard line Thomas in La Jolla, California. Thomas.
Hi, George.
Hi.
And Major Dames. Thank you for taking my call, and thank you both for your service. Major Dames, my question, you have remote viewed a possible kill shot from the sun. My question concerns Planet X. There have been several researchers predicting an incoming Planet X and or large comet coming into the inner solar system and wreaking havoc on Mars and the Earth, etc. And some have been interviewed on Coast to Coast. My question is, have you remote viewed any sort of Planet X and or large comet catastrophe or incoming object into the inner solar system?
I grew up diving in La Jolla Cove. I'm a free diver. In fact, I was in Sri Lanka a couple of weeks ago. Free diving is wonderful. It's a zen experience. 3 minutes under the water, one breath, 30 meters. But anyway, back
That's
to your question.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, I love that. It's really a neat thing. Yes, in conjunction with these massive solar flares, remote viewers have perceived a very large object. And we don't know what it is, honestly. We don't know whether it's a planet, a comet, what it is. We just don't know.
A craft? Who knows?
No. It's not it's not an intelligently designed object. It's natural. Right. It has a very, very long orbital frequency. Perhaps 11,500 years is our best guess. But we just happen to be alive at a time, us, you and I, that this thing might happen to pass. In fact, we think it's connected with kill shot events, if not a facilitator or initiator of them. We just don't know. But, yeah, we've seen something like that. But we don't call it Planet X, and we don't call it Nibiru, and we don't call it anything. We just look at the future of Earth and what's going down, the same way we looked at the demise of Mars and the Martian civilization and why that planet lost its atmosphere. It appears to be because of a similar event and thing.
All right, great. Thanks for that. Let's go next to Linwood, Washington. Hello, Sabrina. Welcome to the show.
Hi.
Hi.
It's been a while since I've talked to you, George.
Yes, it has. But at least several months.
You remember me.
I sure do.
Yeah. Major Dames, now, is it, in your opinion, is Western Washington going to be like disaster zone?
No. The Spokane region and a little bit to the east is okay. Anywhere to the west is not okay.
Okay. Well, Thank you.
All right. Sorry,
I appreciate it.
Thank you. Appreciate you being on the program, too, as well. So we had a few minutes here. We'll take a few more calls. But in terms of itinerary, you're going to go back. I want to track you. You're going back in a couple weeks to Ukraine?
Roger.
Okay. How long will you stay?
I don't know. But I have to be back to teach the RV basic course in Reno on the 26th and 27th of April. I have to be back for
that. Can you bring Natasha and her child here, or do they have to stay there?
Not at that juncture.
Not yet. Are they in harm's way right now?
Yes.
Well, we'll say some prayers for you. Ron is in Louisville, Kentucky. Hey, Ron, thank you for calling.
Well, yes, sir, Mr. George. How are you doing this morning?
Good, Ronald. Very good.
Well, thank you. And hello, Major Ed Dames. I have just three questions for you here, and I'll get off and let you answer off the air.
Okay.
Wouldn't the Ukrainian people rather have an independent republic allied or not allied with the EU or Russia? One. Two, don't we have I'm talking about the United States, don't we have a high interest in a very low profile way, if you know what I mean, in Ukraine? And don't you think Putin is aware of that? Two. Three, talking about a remote viewer now, wouldn't a remote viewer need to know the topography of his or her target to be successful or with a successful hit? That might get into subquantum particles in the brain.
I'll go from three up. No. No, RV is extremely simple to set up. And all of those biases and preconceived notions, topography, and quantum effects and all that have no bearing whatsoever upon the target reference material and the results. None. As far as the second question goes, no. The U.S. is doing the same thing that we've always done. We have ancillary interest in Ukraine only because of Russia, vis-a-vis Russia. And that's a simplistic answer. In terms of your first question, that's far too complex to discuss here. Far too complex.
Ed, any look toward the election of 2016? What's going on there? Have you looked at that?
Well, no, I haven't. But I have a gut feeling. There isn't going to be one, George, because martial law will be declared. And as I've said so often on your show, my gut feeling is there is not going to be another election in the U.S.
Well, that's
a pretty drastic statement.
That is a
but
huge...
I've said it over and over again. I mean it.
All right. We're going to track that. Let's go to Tom at Baltimore, Maryland. Tom, go ahead. You're on with Ed Dames.
Streamline this since we're coming up on the hour. I'm a retired police detective, also a liaison officer with DOD here in Maryland. We may have crossed paths. I don't know when you left your post at Meade. But at any rate, my question has to do with what's going on with your family in Ukraine. From what I've seen on television, it seems as there's a good amount of sluggish behavior from both sides. A lot of basic techniques that we would use here don't seem to be being utilized, mainly making lines of communication open. And do you see any possibility for a compromise? Oftentimes, it is the better part of valor, and it seems like your country certainly is going through much too often this kind of thing.
It is going through this kind of thing much too often, and it is a different situation than in the U.S., and I agree with you about the possibility, the perspective of compromise. It might work for a while, but the opposition has elements within it that won't allow for that to happen. They really are militaristic in nature. And, for instance, Klitschko, the world heavyweight boxing champion, he would be one to compromise and to orchestrate a compromise. But there are elements of the opposition that would oppose that. They want to continue the fight. You know how this goes down. It's always the same everywhere. And that's the problem right there. If there can be a compromise, there won't be because of the elements of the opposition that won't allow a compromise. They want to go for the gold, and that means more death, more bloodshed.
Speaking of the gold, I don't know if you've been watching any of the Olympics because you don't watch that much television, but do you follow it at all?
Oh, yes. I get up in the morning with a cup of coffee and surf. I surf my favorite sites on the web, and many of those are news sites, so of course I do.
What's the major's favorite sport? Curling.
Well, I'm not a sports fan, especially organized sport, but it's, well, sport. Sport.
Gotcha on that one, Eddie.
Yeah,
bobsleds.
No.
All right.
It would have to be martial arts of some type because that was so much a part of my life for so long. But I don't know, George.
All right, my friend. Well, look, you be safe when you get back to the Ukraine. And would you keep in touch with us?
Yeah, I'll do that, George.
All right, Ed Dames. His website, of course, linked up at coasttocoastam.com. For Dan Galante, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean Lottasour, Stephanie Smith, Chris Burles, George Knapp, and Art Bell, I'm George Norrie, somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. We'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.